Today's reading is taken from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father, yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and the wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." And the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld me from your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram, sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, "The Lord will provide," and to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided." Amen.
Morning, everyone. Give me a wee second to get myself set up here. It's great to be here to have another opportunity to share at the BB enrollment. That is special for me because, especially with the company section, I go in most weeks and spend some time with them, taking the scripture class and just hanging out with them. So it is great to be here. Do you mind if we pray just before we begin to look at this passage this morning? Let's just pray. God, we pray that through the power of your Spirit, God, that you would speak to us through your word, God, and that you would challenge each of us. Teach us more about you. In Jesus' name, amen. As many of you know, I became a father recently. And on the screen, you should see a picture of Charlie. This is Charlie. Charlie is 8 weeks old. This is him in his I Love My Daddy outfit. Now, there is an interesting story to this. Charlie has worn this outfit twice. Now, the first time Charlie wore this outfit, Charlie decided to pee all over it. And it just so happened to be his mother who was changing him. The second time Charlie wore this outfit, he happened to boak all over it. And it happened to be his mother who was feeding him. I try not to take that really personally, to be honest. I've also kind of become Charlie's target practice. Is there any other fathers that became the target practice for their sons or daughters out there? I've become Charlie's target practice. So far in the 8 weeks that Charlie has been alive, I have been peed on 3 times. One of those, by the way, was recently. Amy was pouring him a bath, and I decided to pick him up because he was screaming. He was ready for his bath. Rookie mistake. He had no nappy on. And I was heading out to life group, and I picked him up, and I knew he would pee on me. I just knew it was going to happen. And he did. And he got a wee bit on my jumper, a tiny bit on my shoes. But I looked at my jeans, and I was like, "How on earth have you missed my jeans? Like, how have you actually done that?" I was about to head out the door, and I put my hand in my pocket. I realized Charlie had peed directly into my pocket, and then it was absolutely soaking. I ended up going to life group in a pair of tracksuit bottoms and a fleece. I've been pooed on twice, I've been boked on, and you know what? No matter how many times Charlie does it, I love him. I just think he's absolutely adorable. It doesn't matter if he goes on to do it several more times, that will never change. When I look at my son, I love him. And in our passage this morning, we have a father who has nothing but love for his son. We have Abraham, who has a son, Isaac, and he thinks Isaac is adorable. He just outright loves his son. And I'm going to take 10 minutes and look at that a wee bit this morning and think a wee bit about how that challenges us, what this passage challenges us, and how it teaches us a wee bit about God. So the background story to Abraham was married to Sarah. They were a couple who loved the Lord. They feared God. They trusted God. You see that right throughout the story of Abraham, the faith and trust and belief that he had in the God that he trusted. And Abraham and Sarah, they had no children, and so God promised that he would bless them one day with a child. Many years had gone past, and finally God fulfilled that promise. When Abraham was really old, God blessed them with a son, Isaac. And naturally, like any father, just like I do with Charlie, Abraham loved his son. Day after day, Abraham's love for Isaac grew. Isaac was the greatest thing that God had ever given Abraham, and God had blessed Abraham with a lot. Abraham was wealthy, well off. God's hand had been upon him. God had given him lots of things over the years, but this son was special. As Isaac grew up, Abraham's love for him grew and grew. Their relationship grew closer and closer as father and son, until one day in our passage that Sam, thank you to Sam for reading that this morning. In our passage today, God asks Abraham to do something. Verse 1 in chapter 22. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will tell you about." What a crazy thing for God to ask a father to do. What a crazy thing. God asks Abraham to sacrifice the most special thing in his life. Boys, I want you to think of, what's the most valuable thing you have? I want you to picture it. The most valuable thing that you have. It could be your Xbox, it could be your phone, it could be a family member, whatever it is. Now imagine I told you, just go give it away. Get rid of it. You weren't allowed to have it anymore. You'd be like, "Peter, wise up. Not a hope. Why would I do that?" So how much more crazy is it then for God to ask Abraham to actually give up his son? And I think what comes from that is this question of, well, why would God do that? Why would God ask Abraham to sacrifice his son? See, Isaac was a gift from God. Isaac was a blessing given to Abraham from the God he loved and trusted and followed. And naturally, like a father should, he loved his son unconditionally. He loved him incredibly. But there was a danger with that love. There's an old writer called A.W. Tozer. He wrote a book called The Pursuit of God. It's a really good wee small book. I encourage you to read it. And in it, he talks of Abraham and he says this: "As he watched him grow from boyhood to young manhood, the heart of the old man was knit closer and closer with the life of his son, until at last the relationship bordered upon perilous." And so what he means by that is that the love that Abraham had for his son Isaac was a danger of becoming more than the love that he had for God. Abraham was in danger of taking this gift that God had given him and putting it on a higher pedestal than the one who'd actually give him the gift. Abraham's love for Isaac was in danger of uprooting God from the throne of his heart, replacing God as number one in his life. And so God, like it says in our passage this morning, God put it to the test. God decided to test who Abraham loved more, who Abraham feared more. God was willing to test, did Abraham love God enough to be willing to give away the most special thing in his life? And as we read through the passage this morning, as Sam read it, we see that Abraham was willing. Abraham was willing to just give everything over to God. He shows that he truly loves God, that God is number one in his life, that it was God that was on the throne of his heart. And you read in verse 3, God asked him to do it. In verse 3, it says, "Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out to the place God had told him to go." You don't read of the emotions that Abraham was going through. You don't read that Abraham questioned God or asked God, "Why are you doing this?" You just read that Abraham got up and on he went. He had faith in his God. He trusted God. I'm sure there was sadness. I'm sure there was doubts. I'm sure there was lots of things going through his mind. And yet, because God was number one, he just trusted him. And so I think there's a challenge in there this morning for us. There's a challenge especially for us if we call ourselves Christians and we are followers of God, just like Abraham was. The question is this: what's on the throne of your heart this morning? What's number one in your life? Boys and Company section, you've heard this question a couple of times recently because we've been looking at it in our Bible class on Thursday nights. What is number one in your life? Is it God, or is it someone or something else? What's on the throne of your heart? Maybe for you it's family. Maybe from time to time it's friends. Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's that career that you would love to go on to have in the future, or the career that you put so much of your time and your focus and effort into at the moment. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's your Xbox. Maybe it's rugby. Maybe it's your phone, popularity. Maybe it's just yourself. That list probably for all of us could go on and on and on. And it's not that those things are necessarily bad. Family is good. Friends is good. Having a job is good. It wasn't bad of Abraham to love his son, but what would have made it bad was if that love became greater than the love he had for God. If his love for his son was more than his love for his Lord. You see, our love for God should be more than our family. My love for God should be more than my love for Charlie, because Charlie is a gift in my life from God. My love for God should be more than my love for money, or for a job, or for family relationships, whatever it might be. My love for God should trump absolutely everything else. And I'm not saying that God's asking us to give away everything in our lives. God didn't actually want Abraham to go through with a sacrifice. That's why we read that he stopped him. He stopped him from actually sacrificing his son. But he needed to know he'd be willing to. He needed to know that he'd be willing to give everything up in order to trust and follow God. He needed to know that the gift giver was more important than the gift. So what needs to change in our lives in order for God to be number one? What needs to change in our lives in order to plant God firmly on the throne of our hearts? Because everything that is good and perfect in our lives is a gift from God. That's what the Bible says. And so nothing should be put on a pedestal higher than him. And so maybe what we need to do is maybe we need to change and actually spend more time with him. Maybe instead of watching that game on TV, we need to actually maybe just spend some time praying. Maybe instead of picking up your Xbox controller, maybe it's pick up the Bible and read a wee bit more about God. Maybe instead of going out with your friends the night before, it's staying in so you're rested and you can actually get up in time and ready to come to church to meet with God. What needs to change in our lives so that God is number one? Because that's where he deserves to be. God deserves to be number one in our lives and in our hearts. And here's one of the reasons why. Look at verse 12. Verse 12 says, "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Earlier on, it says, Abraham said to his son that God would provide the lamb for the offering. God stops Abraham from giving up his son, but isn't an incredible pointer to the very thing that God actually did for you and for me? Because you see, God gave up his son. He didn't stop. He actually gave his son as the lamb. We looked at that last Sunday morning. That Jesus was the Lamb of God. There's a verse in 1 John 4:19 that says, "We love because he first loves us." We don't love God in order to for God to then love us back. We love him because he first loves us. I wonder, do you realize that this morning? Do you realize that God actually cares and loves you? Romans 5:8 talks of how God actually demonstrated that love for us. It says this: "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, while we still make mistakes, we get things wrong, we tell lies, cheat, we do everything else other than do what God wants us to do. Even though, despite all of that, God, to show us his love for us, sent his son to die for us. To show the love that he has for you, God went through with the very thing he stopped Abraham from doing. He gave his son. God gave his son as a sacrifice to save us from our sins. Why? Because he cares and loves us. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." That word believe, it kind of means to trust and have faith. So whosoever has trust and faith would not perish. And so I wonder this morning, do you have trust and faith? Do you believe in God? Do you believe that in the fact that Jesus was willing to go to the cross to die your death, pay your debt, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could come back into a relationship with God, so that you could become sons and daughters of God? And it comes when we repent, when we say sorry, we turn away from a life of sin and instead turn to God. When we take our lives and we trust it into the hands of God. That's what Abraham did. He took every part of his life and he trusted it to God. Go home and read the full story of Abraham. You will see that Abraham, step by step, just trusted God. Right from the start, when God called him out of his homeland and said, "Come and follow me," and he didn't even know where he was going, but he just got up and he left because he trusted in God. He trusted him with his entire life. And what you'll see as you read throughout the story of Abraham is that you'll see God's faithfulness step by step throughout it. You'll see how God was faithful to Abraham, because that's who God is. He is a faithful God. 1 John 1:9 says this, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." What it means is that if we say sorry to God, he's faithful to forgive us for the things that we've done wrong and make us right with him. Maybe this morning that's what you need to seek for. Maybe this morning you need to seek God for that forgiveness. But do it knowing that he is faithful to forgive you if you truly mean it in your heart. I pray that that's what you would do. Maybe this morning we need to reflect on our lives and think, what needs to change in order to place God on the throne of our hearts? What are the things that are maybe threatening to push God off of the number one spot in my life? And what am I going to do in order to change that? Because he deserves and should be number one. And so, boys, this morning I pray that you would place God as number one in your life. That you would put God on the throne of your heart. That he would become the most special, precious thing in your life. Because you're the most special, precious thing to him. And he sent his son to die in order to show you that. So that you could come and be in friendship, relationship with him. And so, boys, I want to encourage you, place God on the throne of your heart. Have God as the anchor of your life, because he'll be with you every step of the way, and every step of the way, God will remain faithful. And so what's on the throne of our hearts this morning? Because if the answer is not God, then surely we need to change something so that the answer becomes God. Let's pray. God, we just thank you this morning for your faithfulness. God, we thank you that even though at times we are not faithful to you, God, you remain faithful to us. God, we thank you that you did send Jesus and that he died so that we could be forgiven, so that we could come into friendship and relationship with you. God, help us to change so that you become number one in our lives, so that you become the focus of every single part of us and everything that we do. Forgive us for when we don't do that. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to finish by standing and singing two songs. We're going to sing Lion and the Lamb, and then we're going to finish with the BB anthem of Will Your Anchor Hold. So let's stand and worship together.